Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Yes, the rallying cry of patriots who gathered to stand and face the tyrant and look him in the eye. The Bureau of Land Management has withdrawn and returned the cattle to the rancher Bundy in Nevada. Thanks to all of you, it was a victorious moment for the patriots. But that was just one skirmish. The war for state sovereignty, for private land ownership, for private property, for constitutional adherence by our government and due process, well, it is not over. But we've got some great updates, and it was a great victory. And we saw that when patriots stand together, they can reap the rewards and the benefits of that. But there's a lot of learning lessons from all of this. We had some great redoubters, Amron operators, members of the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network stepped up to the plate, and some dropped the ball. So we're going to talk about that tonight. We've got several things coming up. This is going to be a strange, kind of a different fly-by-the-seat-of-my-pants type of broadcast, because it has been an absolute blur, a whirlwind in the last 5 days since Tuesday, when there was a conference call that several leaders were getting ready to head down to Nevada to join several other patriots, militias, Tea Party groups, concerned citizens who were heeding the call, and they were going to stand by a American citizen who was being tyrannized and oppressed. And we are to liberate, to defend the oppressed. We are to seek justice, demand justice, to do justice. So anyway, we're going to be covering that. I'm going to get Matt and Dave Taylor, both representatives from Washington State, strong, powerful patriots and heroes of mine. They are en route right now for a big press conference and to attack the legal and policy side of this issue, the middle of this war that we're on. I went through an emotional roller coaster this week. I was angry. I was frustrated. I was elated and happy beyond belief, depending on what was going on at the moment. And I'll tell you what, wow. I was wondering, man, how am I going to make sense of all this? There was so much information and intel flowing from boots on the ground, from the alternative media guys. Gavin Syme was covering up. Well, there was just so many down there. But anyway, thank you all for tuning in tonight at the radio, at the Voice of the American Redoubt for episode 1414. We're going to be having Bundy Ranch, Nevada situation coverage. We're going to have Representatives Matt Shea and Dave Taylor on the line. And then we're also going to be talking to the governor candidate for the state of Idaho, Russ Fulcher. a patriot and a conservative who needs your support. He needs your help. There is a major battle going on. There are several things that are taking place right now for you to get involved in, and I'm going to talk about that. I'm mostly going to focus on the Northern Idaho political scene because that's what I have the most intel on as far as activity. I need some help from the patriots out there that have battles going on in various parts of the American Redoubt to help me keep up to speed on some of that stuff so we can rally support. Of course, most of you have been following us on Facebook this week because the partisans of Radio Free Redoubt have been doing an amazing job of keeping information flowing. And so don't forget, even during downtimes, you can follow us on Radio Free Redoubt over there at Facebook. Let's see here. I don't want you to forget, in all the craziness and everything else that's been going on, that there is a rally coming up, the Patriots Day Rally. That is coming up next Saturday, starting at noon on April 19th. Some people are calling it a Second Amendment rally, but really it is Patriots Day rally. But it was the day that the Revolutionary War started when we began the process of fighting for our independence and our freedom. And that's going to be taking place in Coeur d'Alene at the Kootenai County Fairgrounds. We will be streaming live coverage there, brought to you exclusively by Radio Free Redoubt. And there are several speakers there that you're going to be able to look forward to hearing from. Of course, Appleseed will be there, and Oath Keepers, Stuart Rhodes, Senator Steve Vick, Representative Matt Shea, if he gets back from Nevada in time, Representative Vito Barbieri, candidate for Lieutenant Governor Jim Chmielik, and an assortment of everyday Americans like you and me. So that's going to be some good stuff. Remember, gun show rules apply to long guns, so you're either going to have the chamber clear with a zip tie through the action or the bolt open and the bolt open, or you're going to have a chamber flag in there so it's visibly very clear. You can keep your 30-round mag in your back pocket if you want, but weapons, the long guns have to be cleared. Handguns have to remain holstered. And we're going to be giving away a custom rifle sling, a leather sling from Lever Gun Leatherworks that was donated to Radio Free Redoubt for just that. And some of you knew exactly what to do to decode the message from last week. And we've got several entries from that. So that was pretty neat stuff. Let's get into the news and commentary because I want to move right along. I had some stories lined up, but I think I'm going to just kind of skim through some of those. For those of you who are new listeners, welcome, by the way. Just for the coverage from the Bundy Ranch incident and the Facebook coverage and a dedicated page that we had, if you want to see if you're not real familiar with what happened down there and is still ongoing, we have a page dedicated to that over at radiofreeredoubt.com on the far right-hand side toward the top. You just click there. And then we also have, we need to get Polly01 to get a link to our Facebook page where we've also been reposting all of the stuff that's been coming in from the groups, the various different groups, from Gavin Symes, the ReaganWing.com, and what was the other? Bound to Liberty. Or Bound to Patriotism, rather. They all did a great job of providing boots on the ground, real-time intel as things were developing. But I want to welcome all of our new listeners, those of you who recently discovered Radio Free Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt, which is the fallback position, the defensible redoubt. It is a safe haven and refuge for God-fearing, liberty-minded patriots who are relocating. Right now, there's a major demographic shift that's taking place. It is mostly silent. It is mostly under the radar, but it is happening and it is increasing in momentum where those who fear God more than man and those who love liberty more than statism are relocating because they see their nation is under fire, under attack. And they know that there's a some major significant changes coming to our world, to our nation. And they are removing their businesses, their families, and themselves from occupied America. And they are relocating to the fallback position that we call the American Redoubt. That is Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the eastern portions of Oregon and Washington. So welcome. Great to have you guys with us. We are going to cover news and commentary here, which is brought to you by Glenn Tate and 299 Days. And I want to remind you that that Kickstarter campaign to turn 299 Days from a book into a movie, that is ongoing right now, and they need the Patriot support. That's going to go on until May 4th, and if they raise the funds in pledges, then that will be able to move forward and actually start producing a movie. Really exciting, really good stuff. Let's see here. What do we want to do? Let's go down the line here. Fox News, Eric Holder. Oh my gosh, did you guys see that? The arrogance in a congressional oversight hearing. He's being questioned. He's being flippant. And he was told, he was warned that if it continued, he could be held in contempt. Holder says, oh, you don't want to go there, man. You don't want to go there. Wow. To a congressman who has every right. He should have said, no, I do want to go there. And I'm going there now. I saw some comment there on some blog. Wow. That's how these people are. Well, Holder, you know, the guy who sold all the assault weapons to the cartels. This resulted in thousands of deaths. Now he wants to explore gun tracking bracelets for you and I. I don't think so. Breitbart Easter egg hunt flyers that were passed out at Michigan schools prompt complaints from Muslim parents. Well, I have a solution for that. They can go back to Iran or Iraq or Saudi Arabia or wherever they came from. How's that? Hey, here's a little piece of intel. I got a spot report, guys. If you are going to be in New Europe and plan to be at the Boston Marathon, TSA on steroids, just think of that. Multiple agencies and departments and contractors are all lined up to support the Boston Marathon this year. And what's interesting is the rules of engagement. This is what they're putting out to everybody in their pre-briefings. In all of their spin-up training, getting ready for this. Instant detainment of anyone carrying banned items, such as bags, strollers, etc. And instant detainment of anyone refusing or even debating a request or an order from an officer. So if he says, hey, what's in the bag? You say, well, why do you want to look in my bag? Ah, well, in the trainer's words, cuffs and no tolerance. Handcuffs and no tolerance. That's the response if you even question a request or an order. It's interesting. We are living in the new America with a K. Bomb-sniffing dogs are being brought in from all over New Europe and even outside the area. So, yeah, they're bringing all their forces to bear. What are the odds of them doing that twice in the same place? They're going to be scoping some other target out, but making us use more and more resources, more money, and less liberty. Isn't it great? Let's see. I want to make some announcements here. Like I said, this is, I've been on phone calls, conference calls, on the ham radio monitoring. I've been in correspondence with so many people, plus sorting through all this intel. I didn't even really get time to work on the show. So please forgive me in being a little disorderly, but I have just piles of notes and stuff that I want to go through here. And I want to make sure that I get some of this stuff covered. There's some announcements that codename Polly01 wanted to, she threw up at me here. No, she didn't throw up at me. I mean, she threw, you know what I mean? Okay. New searchable, sortable member directory. It's a database that we have uploaded for the members. If you are an AMRON member or a Redoubter, member of the American Redoubt Network, that is up and operational now at AMRON and RadioFreeRedoubt.com. And that is search. You can search in there. You can put in there by state, by name, by ham radio capability, alphabetical. It's just a searchable directory to help locate other Redoubters in your area. And also there are a couple of other great tools there for updating your profile if you move or relocate, or maybe when you signed up, you didn't have your ham license, and now you do, and you want to upgrade your profile. There's a really easy tool to plug in that was put up there. You just fill that in, shoot it off, and it comes right into us, and then we can update that for you. I got a letter also. Someone was asking, hey, how do I see these notes, these highlights and resources and links and things from each of your shows that you mentioned? There is a page that we create, a posting actually, and it'll say episode 14-14 or 14-13, episode 14-12. And that's what you're looking for. If you scroll down the page, you'll see previous episodes. And if you click on that based on then, you know, episode 14-14, for example, is today's show. You click on that and it will show you videos, links, and other things like that that we covered during the show. It's just right there, real easy. Let's see here. I'm just looking at the notes here. Oh, yeah, everything should be pretty much updated over at the Radio Free Readout main Facebook page that we reported as the Bundy Ranch Mesquite Bunkerville, Nevada events unfolded. There is also going to be a press conference tomorrow, by the way, that Matt Shea, Chuck Baldwin, and Dave Taylor are on their way right now. Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers is there right now, as well as Sheriff Mack. And we've been in contact with these guys, and they've been keeping us up to date. And also Jim over from Northwest Liberty News got on the line earlier and did an interview with Stuart Rhodes. You can go check that out over at Northwest Liberty News. Just a little bit ago, he was talking to him while I was talking to Matt Shea and Dave Taylor. So we're trying to bring the best coverage of this that we can and get the leadership perspective out to you as well. Okay. Also, Heather Scott, you guys know Heather Scott. She is the candidate for District 1 up in Boundary County, and the fight is on. The left-leaning Republican element is trying to back her opponent. He comes out of nowhere as soon as she announced that she was running, and her opponent withdrew. Well, lo and behold, this other guy jumps up to take the place of, well, she needs your help. If you can get a hold of them, get a hold of her over there at voteheather.com, voteheatherscott.com. You guys listened to her interview a couple weeks ago. Great gal, and there's several people that need your help here. Okay, that's pretty much all I'm going to cover as far as news and commentary, because there's several other things we want to get to, and leave plenty of room to talk to Matt Shea and Dave Taylor. And then, of course, we're going to be talking to Russ Fulcher here in just a little bit. So stay right there, and we'll cover specifically the Bundy Ranch incident and then get those guys on the line and get that wrapped up. Okay, stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Readout. Send the drones, even if I'm on my own. Well, I'm not the one to be afraid, 'cause I know that I'm not standing all alone.
If there is any hope of restoring America, we cannot, as a free people, allow ourselves to be divided. Division is what the destroyers of liberty are counting on, and if that means, as a last resort, preserving those American ideals within the boundaries of the American Readout, there must be unity among the patriots. We must all hang together, or assuredly we shall all hang separately. That's what Benjamin Franklin said, and that's what I say too. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Across America, the police state is growing. If you are in law enforcement or in the military and you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot who took your oath to protect and defend the Constitution seriously, and you see training and indoctrination that supports the police state, notify Radio Free Readout at once so we can inform others. You can do this confidentially. Your email and any other information will never be made public without your permission. Remember, if you see something, say something.
Okay, thanks for being with us in segment two here, which is sponsored by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. These guys are really great supporters of Radio Free Redoubt. Oh, they all are. And they want to help. They want to help Radio Free Redoubt and the American Redoubt movement. This costs money. So the agreement is, hey, let's put up a posting and, this will benefit us. It helps you out. If you'll put a little clickable banner up there and just do a little brief mention for us, you know, can we kick you a little bit of money to help cover the internet costs and things like that? I'm like, thank you so much. So we're doing two things, or several things. We're keeping Radio Free Redoubt going because the increasing costs as we grow are being covered. You're helping out a Patriot-owned business, and this is a service to help people that are relocating here, because this is what this is all about. They are strategically relocating, and they need some assistance because they're not from this area. So if you want to get a hold of an expert, Selkirk Mountain Real Estate can help you guys with that. That's what this is all about. I do not want to turn this into, prostitute Radio Free Redoubt for a buck. But we do have hard costs here that we just cannot get around. So hopefully this worked out great for everyone. Hope you guys appreciate that. Now, let's bring you guys up to speed on the situation with the Bundy Ranch. There are so many resources out there now. If you're just now coming into this, I've been trying to think, how do I organize this in a way that's going to just, make sense to you guys? Because at first I said, hey, what's all the other ranchers pay their fees. This guy says, I'm not paying your stupid fees anymore. He's using public land for commercial. He's making money off of public land. Why doesn't he pay his fees like everyone else does? So is this guy a freeloader or what? And I'm trying to be objective about this because I want to be on, you want to be right. You have to be right. And you don't want to get all fired up about a cause and then realize, oops, I was wrong. So I want to look at this objectively. Well, there is a lot more to this story. We've had several things come to light recently. This is not just about cows, and it's not just about a rancher using property without paying fees. He did pay his fees. In fact, he'd been paying these fees for years. He stopped paying the fees because the money that's supposed to be allocated from these fees that they pay is supposed to go toward portion of it is to assist the ranchers in developing the land and maintaining the water and everything. He has the water rights to it legally. He has the grazing rights to that land legally. And there's statutory and precedents that's in place that gives him the right to this property and has for generations. Now, also, I'm coming across, the more I research this, the more difficult it is for me to kind of unpack everything because there's several components involved here. Now, I didn't get a chance to really put this in a real presentable package that I wanted to deliver to you guys. But there are also there's a federal act, I got to pull it up, that basically lays out very clearly that the federal government cannot own land in a state except for national defense. And they have to purchase the property for batteries, for military installations, for radar sites or a Air Force base and things like this. They can't just own land just outright in the federal, but they do. Well, a lot of people are saying, okay, this is just a big environmental grab, but it's not an environmental grab. The environmental part is the smoke and mirrors. And what this is really about is the natural resources. And there is a larger agenda. The Agenda 21 factor comes into this without getting into, that component of it, which is a whole different Pandora's box in and of itself. It is really an attack on rural America to try to shift populations into more metropolitan areas. Okay, but it's even bigger than that. This is about access to the land, the use of it, and natural resources. There's been some documents just recently leaked that Senator Harry Reid, hardcore left-leaning Obama regime supporter, and he has, well, his son apparently is involved in a multi-billion dollar deal with a Chinese-owned company to develop solar energy, and the land that this rancher happens to be occupying is ground zero for their plans for this solar project, which will cover thousands of acres. On top of that, documents have been released showing that fracking and oil extraction research has been done extensively throughout that area as well. So again, it goes back to energy, and it goes back to energy policies and backdoor deals that are going on. And remember, I covered this right from the very beginning with China's Trojan horse episode. We are getting trillions and trillions of dollars. We are leveraging that with something. They are not going to give that kind of money without some type of collateral. And I suspected from the beginning that it was all about our natural resources. That's what's being used. It's not the land. It's the natural resources that the land holds that has been leveraged for these outrageous amounts of money that we are now indebted to and cannot pay back. So it's pay up time. And also, incidentally, Harry Reid's assistant, his head aide, was put in charge of none other than the Bureau of Land Management. And then all of a sudden the pressure starts coming on to this rancher for this land. And first, oh, it's wild horses. They're competing with grazing area for wild horses. Well, they beat that argument because, wild horses are not indigenous to that area. And the rancher has first rights to it for grazing and for water. Well, darn it. Well, what are we going to do now? I know there's a turtle that is probably going to go extinct if these cattle trample in the water and make it dirty. So let's put this, I don't know how many, 250 feet or whatever easement in, and we'll use the fees from the farmer to pay for the fencing, and we'll have him put it up. Well, that would, of course, cut the cattle off from access to the water, and there's more to it than that. But the farmer says, whoa, hey, no, this is not happening. I'm not going to pay for you push me off my land. I mean, that's not what these funds are supposed to be allocated for. All right, so the turtle thing didn't work. So now it's, oh, he didn't pay his fees. So let's get him off the land because he didn't pay his fees. Well, the Patriots caught on to it, and they said, this is not going to happen. We are going to rise up. We're going to stand by this rancher. There is so much to this story, but things really escalated. And when things escalated, militias began activating, Patriots began showing up, and the Bureau of Land Management responded in kind and started placing snipers on hilltops and overwatching the citizens. Well, it turned into quite a showdown. I don't want to bore you guys with that stuff anymore. All that material is right there with the videos, with links. You can get it firsthand instead of trying to get it, you know, from me recycled. It's the stuff that I've been wading through all week, including live reports as far as what was happening on the ground. And it came down to a very tense moment in the end where the sheriff showed up out of nowhere, who had been silent the whole time. He shows up and advises that the BLM guys pull out because someone was going to get shot, and things were just going to escalate, go downhill real quick. So I'll tell you what, let me get Matt Shea on the line. Let's talk to him, and Dave Taylor's with him. Let's talk about what their goals are and their plans are for this coming week. And let's talk about the situation from their perspective.
It's Matt.
Hey, Matt. John Jacob here. How you doing?
Doing well. I'm here with Dave Taylor as well. So.
All right. Tell them I said hi, and thank you for what you guys are both doing.
Absolutely.
You are heading down now when everything is apparently over with. So let's talk about this. Why? What is your objective for heading down there right now?
Well, first of all, this is not over. The federal government is just going to wait, and then they will be back in some way, shape, or form, number one. And number two, this is already happening in other states, in Texas and down in New Mexico.
Yes.
There are similar problems that are happening. So our objective in heading down to Nevada right now is to make sure that we can still this.
You're breaking up. Doggone it.
All right, you want to try it again?
Yeah, we'll try it one more time. I'm sorry. It just started breaking up.
So it's my fault. I'm right in a little river valley.
Okay.
And it's a river valley, so it's a little bit better now.
All right, so you're heading down there right now because all of this stuff's continuing to go on around the country, and this is not just about Cliven Bundy's cattle. This is about a policy issue. This is about a trend. Legalities, the constitutionality, and precedents that's being set for grabbing land.
Well, very, very clearly, this is a war on rural America, and it's not just located in Nevada with the Bundy Ranch. It's also happening in Texas and New Mexico. It's happening in eastern Washington. These environmental rules that come in and seem to trump hundreds of years of common law, and at least Western water law, particularly, and Western grazing law, it's ridiculous. And the fact that the federal government thinks that they can just kick people off their land, or even more importantly, functionally disallow use of their land. In other words, they put in rules and regulations where they can't even use acres and acres of their land because there's a 250-foot buffer from the stream. The cattle can't get near it. They have to put up new fences for thousands of dollars in cost. That's what we're really talking about here. We're talking about a war on rural America, a war on that way of life. And so going down to Nevada, our objective is to have this press conference, to get the message out to the rest of America that this is not just a single incident that was resolved yesterday, but that this is something that's going to affect Americans for generations, and we have to do something now to put the federal government back in check and back in its constitutionally designed box.
Absolutely.
That is why, yeah, absolutely. And that's why we want to be with the character and quality of Larry Pratt and Chuck Baldwin and Sheriff Mack and these other legislators coming from Arizona and Montana and Idaho so that we can actually get this message out to all of America.
And that's where it needs to come from. One of the things that we were hearing from the ground was that there was no real legitimate leadership to speak of to lead the people. And it just turned into a helter-skelter mess that, by the grace of God, it didn't turn into a slaughter yesterday. And one thing we know about the federal government, you don't just yell in their face and they go away. So this concerns me. That this is a ruse, that this is not over. And also, it concerns me that the people are buying into the argument that this is about an environmental issue when it goes deeper than that, that the environmental issue is turning out to be the smoke and mirrors behind the real issues. And we've had people like Harry Reid and his son and his aide is now in charge of BLM, and there's multi-billion dollar contracts for both fracking and solar where they want that land in a bad way. So they're using environmentalism as the tool to try, as the leverage to try to get these guys off the land, but that's not even all about what it's all about. So how can we hold these people accountable? This is treasonous.
Well, first I want to go back to the part that you talked about where there really wasn't any plan on the ground. I'll address that, then I'll address the environmental issue next. There wasn't really a plan on the ground. I mean, when you go into something like this, you need a legal plan. You need a media plan. You need a plan for supply for all folks that are going to jump on the ground. And you need to talk about what is proper
Okay, try that again.
Well, so there really wasn't any plan on the ground. I mean, you walk into something like this, you need a plan for the legal aspects of it. You need a plan for the media. You need a plan for the supply of the folks on the ground. And then last but not least, you also need a plan for civil disobedience and how that looks properly on the ground. And there really wasn't a plan for any of that. So when the folks from Washington got on the ground, those are some of the things that we talked about making sure we had in place. And particularly, for example, doing some things to impede what the federal government was trying to do in a legal manner and finding out where all the sheriffs stood in the bordering counties in that part of Nevada, and you know where they stood on the border with Arizona, where the folks in Utah stood, where the folks in New Mexico stood. So if the federal government tried to transport those cows, we could know that we would have sheriffs along those lines to block them. So that was one of the things that we really started to work on as this began to escalate. The second thing I would say, too, is that there was every indication that this was escalating, not de-escalating. And then suddenly there was a phone call made from probably the highest levels of the federal government that shut everything down. And that really changed the dynamic on the ground. This was escalating, and the federal government clearly is not going to get poked in the eye and just go away. They're going to actually come back, and, you know, this was going to happen, if not at the Bundy Ranch again, it'll happen somewhere else in the West.
Yes, absolutely. And people are frustrated, and they're pushing back. But if we go down there, and it just frustrated me how the sheriff there in Clark County was completely silent, would not speak to. They had no statement whatsoever, and then all of a sudden they show up to save the day and make the big announcement that the BLM's pulling out. Where they were silent the rest of the time. So if we go down there and let's say get the sheriffs to cooperate. And get the other people on board to stop the movement of the cattle. All we're doing is just we're putting a Band-Aid on one issue instead of going to the root of it.
Right. And the root of it right now, I mean, we've talked about this before. It's very simply that the elitists are using environmental law so that they can benefit their friends and their cronies. And this happens regardless of whether we're talking a solar farm for the Bundy Ranch, where we're talking about wind farms in Washington State, it goes to one company. That company happens to give a lot of money to one particular political party. And it is nothing, I don't think, more simple than that, because in Washington State, for example, we've got hydropower. We've got some of the best, most stable power in the entire country, the cheapest power in the entire country.
Yes.
And here we are building wind farms. And oh, by the way, on top of that, most of these turbines and most of these towers are built from rare earth metals that we have to import from China. So it actually makes us more dependent on China and foreign, materials than we should be to begin with. So that's my take on the situation. And you're right. That's really, I think, at the root of this is this cronyism that's out there right now. This thought that the elitists can just plunder and take whatever they want to and put all these people's lives in harm's way for their own personal gain.
Yeah, and that's the most perfect word you could choose for that is plunder, because that's exactly what's happening. So, okay, you're going to present some leadership and some common sense and for this press conference that's going to take place tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, it's going to take place tomorrow at 1:00. And one of the more important things that's actually going to happen is not even the press conference and getting this message out to the American people, but also it's going to be networking with all these legislators and sheriffs and leaders among all the patriots, networking. So when this does happen again, our network is more solid than it was this time, and we can react a lot faster because it's not going to be the same next time. They aren't going to make the same mistakes they did of delaying.
No.
And taking a long time to kind of ramp up. It's going to be really fast, and they're going to learn from their mistakes.
Yes.
And we have to be ready as we the people to protect the Constitution.
Well, absolutely. What is your I know you've been getting so much intel coming in from all different directions, and so you've been staying up on the, you know, the latest developments. Right now, they are pretty much folding up, and they're heading home. I'm talking about the Patriots there that have, you know, people are almost prematurely celebrating, and it's really concerning to me. What is your opinion of those who are deciding to stay on station? And do you have any way of anticipating what you think the government might do next?
Well, when I first put out the call for legislators, you know, along with Stuart Rhodes, Sheriff Mack, for people to start showing up down there, we said this is going to be a vigil. And this must be a vigil. We need to be vigilant. And it's not going to end tomorrow. So the folks that are staying there and rotating in and out, you know, Godspeed. And really happy they're doing that, because this is not over. I think that the federal government is going to try to do some maneuvers in the court. I think they're going to try to collect what they say is now the debt for going in and intimidating Mr. Bundy and his family and his ranch, which I think they said on Fox News was $1 million now. So I would expect them to go into court, and we're going to be revisiting this issue in 6 months to a year. And they're going to try to come back and do the exact same thing again. I think that's really what the move is. We're heading down there as well because a lot of the Patriots that are there right now that have stayed on station are vigilant, and they realize that we can't go to sleep on this thing, and we can't be celebrating prematurely. It was a win, but this is not the end of the end of the war. This is probably the beginning. And clearly this administration, through all of its agencies, including BLM, really has declared war, like I've said before, on rural America. And we're going to see war on hardworking Americans. We're going to see the continued push to drive people into cities and off the farms and off the ranches.
Yes.
And one of the reasons that they do that is because when people are driven into the cities, they're less self-reliant.
That's right.
When people are in the country, they're more self-reliant. And when you're more self-reliant, you're more tied to the principles that made America great.
Yeah, absolutely. In the process of carrying out their agenda and plundering our wealth and our resources, these are intolerable acts. And people are beginning to think that there might not be any other solution because they've exhausted every other recourse, other than to stand toe-to-toe with them.
Well, I mean, look at what happened with this situation. So you've got very clear law, and hopefully you can have Dave Taylor on here in a few minutes to talk about this, but you've got very clear law, preemptive, first-in-time, first-in-right law regarding the grazing rights and regarding the water rights of Mr. Bundy. And the government comes in and says, oh, we're going to help you manage your land because there might be overgrazing. And instead, they take those ranchers' fees, and then they said, well, now we're not going to manage it. We're going to actually buy you out of your rights.
Yeah.
And all the ranchers sold out except him.
Right.
So when you see that, that's they're violating, number one, their own charter of managing the land. And number two, when they do get a court order to go in and seize these cows, they kill some of them. So
yes,
they violate
did.
The court order with that.
That's right.
The last thing that I would say on that as well, just as an attorney speaking, typically when you have something that is in the wrong place, could be a car, could be a trailer, could be cows, if you have it in the wrong place and you get an order from the court to move it off of that place, the court will give you time to do that. And if you don't meet that timeline, then they will go in and they will either impound that and hold it, or they will take it, put it on your property, and then settle the bill up at the end as an offset for damages.
Yes.
In this particular case, they go in, they seize his cows, and they're getting ready to take them to an auction house and sell them before the case is even done. I don't even know how that makes sense.
Exactly,
legally.
Because this litigation was still ongoing. The courts have not finalized this when this other judge signed an order to physically remove the cattle.
Exactly. And, you know, there were a lot of different strategies that should have been taken up, in my opinion, and not done at the last minute to stop this from happening. One of those was that I would have tried some way to enjoin the brand inspector from certifying the movement of that cattle. And the second thing is, if I was a county commissioner in Clark County, Nevada, you could change the weight on roads and close roads to some federal vehicles and also those cattle trucks. There's some other things you could do. If the sheriff would have stepped in, as we've talked about, this whole thing would never have happened. So there were many different avenues, I think, that could have been pursued there to throw as many roadblocks literally in the way of what the federal government was trying to do. And the whole way along the chain, everybody seemed to fold because the federal government said we have to do this. And that really is not the right answer. Government closest to the people is the best.
Yes.
The federal government shouldn't even be managing these lands. It should be the states managing these lands. And in fact, in Washington, when they took a look and did an objective study of how state managed the lands versus the feds, the state managed it 1,800% better, literally.
Yes.
And so I want to caveat that by saying I don't think that the state is the best manager of lands either. I think we need to sell some of those lands back to the private sector and retool and refurbish not only our manufacturing sector by doing that, but also our ranchers and farmers.
Yes.
Put some of that land back into productive use.
Absolutely. We are in agreement on that. And then we need to also go, and something has to be done. Something has to be done to hold these traders accountable who are plundering our land, our wealth, and the Constitution. This just sickens me.
Well, I think that the immediate step is, because you can elect new leadership, but you have this lifer bureaucracy that is really instituting tyranny in this country. And to get rid of that, I think the first step is to transfer the land back to the state, to take it out of the power of these lifer bureaucrats at the national level.
Amen.
Now, that's not to say we don't have lifer bureaucrats at the state level, but get it out of the national level and get it closer to the people is the first step.
The way it was intended.
The way it was intended.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate everything that you're doing. You're going into this battle, but it's actually a war, and there's going to be many more ahead of us. So we need as many people involved as possible. And this is a fight on all levels. I mean, this is a policy issue. This is about holding people accountable. And this is also about informing people so they know what's truly going on. This is not about a turtle, and it's not about cows. It's about power.
Well, it is about power, and I would just simply say that human life is worth more than a tortoise. It's more important than a tortoise, and we have to keep that in mind throughout this entire debacle, that's the true statement. And I think there's a great lesson in here for all of us, and that is simply this. If we defend freedom locally and show up and unite together, we win.
Yes.
And that I think is a lesson for all of your listeners.
Yes, sir. And I think that they are all in agreement. I just want to thank you for your time. You just have a good, safe trip there. And I wouldn't mind talking to Dave, because he is Dave Taylor, Representative Washington, is a rancher.
Absolutely. Well, he's sitting right next to me, so just a second.
All right.
Let me give the phone over just a second.
Hey, you still there?
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing really well. Wow, it got quiet. Sounds good.
Yeah, he took you off the speakerphone.
Oh, the speakerphone.
He's driving. He was doing hands-free.
Oh, there's only one thing I hate worse than speakerphones, and that's the Bluetooths. Oh, it sounds so much nice. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, you're one of my heroes, my man. I appreciate everything that you're doing in Olympia. And thanks for going with Matt down there to deal with this situation. But you have a different perspective. You are a rancher yourself.
Well, I think I bring a different perspective from a couple of different levels. I'm actually, at this point, because of my legislative duties, we've sold the cows. We're not raising cows right now. But we have. At one point, my wife and I in a partnership had 150 mother cows. We've run on range ground that is managed by the federal government. But even more than that, you know, I cut my teeth in local government, and I've spent really the last 20 years of my life looking at property rights and working on property rights, water rights, grazing rights, and following the various cases that we've seen around the nation over the last 20 plus years, in dealing with that. And really the one that sticks out the most is the Hage case that coincidentally came out of Nevada.
Yes.
In which case, you know, the Bureau of Land Management went in, under very, very similar circumstances to the Bundy Ranch situation. And ultimately, long story short, is the Hage family won that court case. And the claims, U.S. Claims Court said a taking did occur and awarded monetary penalties. Now, what's happened since then is last November, right around the 4th, there was another hearing at the next level, and the court vacated that monetary penalty. And by doing that, they essentially told the federal bureaucracy, be it BLM or Forest Service or whoever,
no consequences.
There's no consequence. You can take the property and you just won't have to pay for anything. So There's a lot of us out there that have dealt with this and have followed it that sees that as kind of the green light trigger for what we're now seeing, not only in Nevada, but New Mexico and in Texas. This is, in the simplest of terms, as I've tried to explain to people, as America was growing, as the United States was pushing westward, coming over in covered wagons with their horses and cattle, the first thing they did when they got to a place that they were going to homestead was let their animals get a drink. And what that translates to in very simple terms is first in time, first in right. They've established through a perfecting of water rights or beneficial use.
Yes.
Well, what the courts have actually gone on to say is, what's the next logical step after that animal's had a drink of water? Well, they got a bite to eat, because as you moved west, you certainly weren't carrying 22 ton of hay with you.
Right.
So they took a bite of the grass, and you've now established, once again, beneficial use and a right to that. What everybody's missing in this entire case with the Bundys and others is subsequent federal law, be it the Taylor Grazing Act, be it the Federal Land Policy and Management Act. Those are not retroactive. In fact, the U.S. Constitution, Article 1, Section 9, says ex post facto laws are unconstitutional.
Yes.
Meaning that they're not retroactive. So those rights don't disappear simply because Congress has changed their mind and passed a new law.
Right.
But I think it's clear, based on everything that I've seen, that the Bundy family has a clear chain of title in this particular case. They've established not only beneficial use of water and a senior right to that water, but also the grazing land and the grass associated with that. So, you know, we're headed down now, meeting up with delegations from other Western states, and I think for me, my purpose is to go down and send a very clear message to the federal government that the Western states are alive and well. We're not sleeping on this, and you know, even if they were to never go back to the Bundy Ranch, we know they're going someplace else. And when that happens, the Western states will mobilize, and we will be on scene.
Yes, and that's what the people are hungry for, not just the officials from the sheriffs on up to the legislators that are just complacent and apathetic to this. That you guys are actually taking action. You're showing that you're educated on the issue. You can call them out on this. And, you know, of course, that's the legal aspects of how to attack this. But this is, you know, with the solar, with the so-called environmental impact issues, you know, fracking and oil exploration and everything else that's going on, we understand what their true motives are. And so we can beat them, you know, using these type of laws, land use laws, but it's such a rottenness all the way down to the core of these people that they're not going to give up. And this is very frustrating. It creates a sense of despair. Like there's no hope. I mean, there's no way out of this. There's no solution. That what's going on right now is just a treatment, but there's no cure. And
well, there is a cure, and that is to elect good constitutionally principled people to Congress and to state legislators.
Amen.
And quite frankly, you know, for all your listeners out there, it's an election year. There's a lot of county sheriffs up for election.
Yes.
And it's time to start asking those tough questions. When this happens in whatever county your listeners live in, you know, when this happens in this county, what's going to be the sheriff's response? And get them on the record. Get your local county commissioners, your locally elected state representative, get them on the record. What will your response be?
Yes.
And if they won't give you a response, I guess that's your answer come November election.
Exactly. And we were really pushing for that. And there is it is very encouraging because people are waking up at such a rapid rate. They're understanding what's going on in our country, and they are waking up. They are becoming aware and they are getting engaged. So now we just need to inform them of the issues so they know what the right choice is when they got two different people telling them, vote for me. They need to know how to make sense of those two choices.
Well, and they've not only asked the questions themselves, but talk to their neighbors, go to the forums, and you get engaged. If we don't do it now, I think, and I don't say this lightly, we're at that place in history where you know, elections mean something, and if we don't start standing up and we don't make changes right now, we may never get it back.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Well, once again, I thank you guys for what you're doing. I just want, pray for, Godspeed over your trip and that you are absolutely effective and impactful in what you guys are doing. And that that's an encouragement, not just for those across the American Redoubt, but all of the patriots that are concerned about the direction things are headed and that there are people that really do care and that they are educated and they're fighting for them.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and all your listeners, and appreciate the prayers at this point. That's the best thing we can get from everybody out there, is the continued prayers, not only for us on our trip, but the folks that are still down there monitoring the situation and ensuring everything continues forth without escalating yet again. So appreciate your time. God bless you for all you're doing, and look forward to talking to you again.
Absolutely. We'll keep in touch. Okay, guys. And thanks for everything.
You bet. Thank you.
All right. Have a safe trip. Bye now.
Thanks. Bye.
So my advice is, don't go to sleep on this. Pay attention to this. Don't take your eye off of it. You know that feeling of bliss and calm just before getting sucker punched? So, well, we better be alert. All right, this is the voice of the American Redoubt. We will be back in just a moment, and I'm going to address the Ameron operators and the purpose. I need to reinforce that. What our goal is, what our mission is, and what we were trying to accomplish there. Why are we doing what we are doing? That and more, and then coming up a little bit later, we'll be joined by Russ Fulcher. This is episode 1414 on the Voice of the American Redoubt.
We are eternally grateful to all our heroes, past and present, who have sworn to protect and defend our nation and our Constitution. Thank you for keeping your word. Thank you, Oath Keepers.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt, here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio. Simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Readout blog to learn more.
Do you hear the people sing, singing the song of angry men? It is the music of a people who will not be slaves again. When the beating of your heart echoes the beating of the drums, there is a life about to start when tomorrow comes.
Nothing trumps the Constitution in this nation, my fellow patriots. Nothing. Just yesterday, we had a huge win against those who want to hold us with the shackles of tyranny. The government overstepped their bounds in Nevada, and you rose to the occasion. Great work. But we're far from out of the woods. This week, we will talk about how the Russians and the Chinese have made a huge move that will forever change the face of energy transactions, and how you can forget that spring barbecue this year, as meat prices will head higher. This is Sunday, April 13th, 2014, and I am Fox 519 bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye on the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Readout.
If you serve your country, either in law enforcement or in the military, and you are a patriot, love liberty, and want to do your part in preserving what made America great and free, join Oath Keepers today.
Welcome back. This week I am both extremely proud and extremely sad for our nation. Of course I am speaking about what happened to the Bundy family in Bunkerville, Nevada. I hope most of you who are listening have been following the live updates on RadioFreeReadout.com and have seen the tremendous news about the BLM backing down. That's great. Like I said before, we're not out of the woods. But what did this really all start about? I'll tell you. It was about energy, it was about oil, and it was about solar. Last week there was a document that was leaked to the public by the Nevada Bureau of Mines and Geology that shows significant exploratory drilling being conducted in precisely the same area where the Bundy family has been running their cattle since the 1870s. The Gold Butte area is indicated on the lower right corner of the document. And in reviewing it, it clearly shows numerous exploratory drilling operations have been conducted there. What's also clear is that oil has been found in the nearby areas, and even possibly within the Gold Butte area itself. Now, why is this significant? Well, last week in a report on ShaleReport.com, it was shown that the BLM collected $1.27 million in fees and revenue from fracking leases in the Gold Butte area. Yes, the BLM gets money from each oil lease they have on the land. So why wouldn't they want more land? The other item of interest is that Democratic Senator Harry Reid's son and a Chinese energy company called ENN have also entered into a $5 billion solar agreement that would use the Gold Butte area for this proposed project. Senator Reid has been one of ENN's biggest supporters, having recruited them during a company visit during a 2011 trip to China. According to Reuters, last month, Senator Reid tried to, quote, pressure Nevada's largest power company, NV Energy, to sign up ENN as its first customer. Both Rory Reid and Harry Reid denied ever having discussed the $5 billion Chinese solar panel deal for the area. So, was this all about a stupid tortoise? No. We knew it wasn't. It was about the trampling of rights. It was about greed and about power. But in the end, you made it about the Constitution, and the Constitution prevailed. Another financial news this week, Russia and China rocked the financial world with Russia's Gazprom making an announcement that it would hold a bond sale in the coming weeks. But this isn't your ordinary bond sale. The bonds they are going to be selling will be sold in yuan. Yes, I said it. The Chinese currency. It will not be sold in American petrodollars. This is a significant, aggressive move by the Chinese and the Russians to show the world that energy transactions can now be completed without using the dollar for those type of options. When Gazprom completes the bond sale, it will set the precedent that we are no longer in charge of the world. This is a moment we all knew would come. This is a huge and major sign that the death of the dollar is coming at us faster and faster. You cannot ignore this any longer. You have to begin getting your wealth out of banks and into tangible items like food, seeds, gold, silver, and lead. Your time is running short, everyone. Don't waste it. And finally tonight, like I said, you may want to skip that summer barbecue. Our grocery bills are about to go up again, and this time quite higher in the meat department. On a national average, it's been studied that the USDA price of choice-grade beef has increased nationwide to $5.28 a pound, and the price for a pound of bacon has increased to $5.46. Well, last year, meat was at $4.91 per average per pound, and it was up 7.53% from the previous year. That's not good. This year, bacon is up 13%. Yes, red meat and bacon are not necessarily the healthiest things. Fox 519 loves both of those. But they're easy metrics to track nevertheless. But it's about to get even worse because 6 million pigs have died this last year from the porcine diarrhea virus. And the availability of pork-based products have become traditionally more affordable. And beef are both about to become severely limited. So with these three stories in mind, here's what I'm going to be doing with my finances in the coming week. With Russia and China getting ready to finally kill the dollar, I'm making sure my building up my own barter supplies. Barter is a really super important part of your coming economy. I did an interview this last week on the Prepper Recon podcast, and we discussed in great detail about what good barter supplies look like. I'm personally building up my supplies of mini liquor bottles, 22 long rifle, junk silver, and tradable medical supplies. One important note on bartering you need to remember for the future. Never trade on or near your retreat. This is a terrible way to open up yourself for a raid or even worse. Well, that about wraps it up for this evening. And just a quick programming note. If you'd like to follow me now, I'm on Twitter. You can follow me at Fox519. Thanks again for listening this week. And for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox519 signing off. God bless.
This is Radio Free Redoubt broadcasting from an undisclosed location deep within the recesses of the Rocky Mountains in the American Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt, and my name, of course, you know the rest. But only if you're a God-fearing, liberty-minded patriot, right? I love getting letters of encouragement and things like that from people, and people just saying, hey, we're praying for you. Thanks. Keep up the great work. And then they give their testimonies about, you know, what they're doing with their family or relocating and just paying attention to the issues and stuff. But I got one last week. I thought this was really cool. We got some talent out there. We've got an AMRON operator. I mean, a ARN member, Phoenix. This is from Phoenix Descent. You guys know that song that we just introed in, right? Just in the first segment, coming right off the intro. Well, that was created, produced, and that was just a part of it. He says, I just wanted to send a thanks for all that you guys do. You have inspired me to be more and to pursue my calling. I wrote a song and wanted to share it with you. Phoenix Descent, I Will Not Comply. And that was the name of that song, I Will Not Comply. And I thought it was pretty cool. It was kind of it has a college punk rock type of feel to it. And I don't know, I like it. I thought it was cool stuff. And he's offered to, Glenn Beck has some of his own theme music or intro stuff. He's saying, hey, I was wondering if there was anything you wanted for Radio Free Readout that I could do. And I'm like, that is really cool. So I don't know what he's working on. It's going to be a surprise, and it'll be a treat. Looking to see how that turns out. Okay, now let's talk about AMRON real quick. What is AMRON? AMRON is the American Redoubt Radio Operators Network. It is a network of communicators scattered all across the country in every state in the country. There are pockets where it's saturated with AMRON operators, and there are areas that are pretty sparse. It's a fairly new project, but it is growing by leaps and bounds. So the object is to have someone with communications capabilities to help link like-minded communities, to help the leadership have access to communications for coordinating a response if there is a collapse, natural disaster, war, any number of scenarios where our way of life could be threatened, and where our leaders and preserving Americanism could be challenged, and they need to communicate with one another, and also to provide a mechanism for intelligence. Eyes and ears on the ground can share information and send that information flowing up and down so that the masses who are moving about in their communities encounter something that could be of value for everyone else to know, can share that information. Or if there's information that's being spread out across the top that needs to be distributed widely, can be distributed down, up and down, both ways. The Amron operators, some of them are ham operators, some of them are non-ham operators, but they've agreed to act as relays. Well, this situation happened in Nevada. There was a conference call Tuesday evening with leadership that were planning on going down to the Bundy Ranch to try to find a peaceful solution and to try to de-escalate things, because this is when the word of militias traveling that direction were beginning to surface. So my immediate thought in talking with some of these leaders, now, some of them are very familiar and aware of Amron. They understand its purpose, and they have it in their back pocket as a resource, knowing that if things go down, there will be an Amron operator to assist them with the communications, to support them in that way. So ideally, the Patriot leaders who are cut off in a grid down situation or disrupted communications situation can have an Amron operator tap him on the shoulder and say, "Sir, how can I help? Who can I get you in touch with? How can I help you get this message? Sir, I have a message for you." That is how it works on that level, the command and control level of communications, as a support element. Well, as soon as I got word that several Patriot leaders were going to be going down to that area and anticipating that it could become a volatile situation, and also understanding the tactics that we have seen deployed by our federal government and governments across the world, frankly, where they seize control of conventional communications. And as we anticipated, that happened. It was confirmed. Cell phone towers were disabled in key locations to inhibit the Patriots and the protesters there in Nevada from being able to communicate with one another, which also affected their internet service. So they had to drive quite a distance until they could get within the reach of the next operational cell phone tower. So this was very selective. This was a tactical move on the part of the federal government. Well, we anticipated that might happen. If things got really bad and they cut off communications, we wanted Amron operators to be available to help those leaders communicate and to get messages to the outside world, because really there was not a lot of information flowing in the first several days from that area. It was very hit and miss. Well, I put word out, and we only found just a few Amron operators with HF capability. That means long-range ham radio communications capabilities. Well, I received no response. Finally, after the second email, I got a response from one of the operators who was identified as being in that area, who actually is not. He's on the other side of the state. But he says, "I'm scrambling. I'm trying to get all my stuff together. I can't remember what it was. Something with an antenna that wasn't working right, and he's trying to fix it." So he's getting ready to get in the game. The other ones are not responding. Now, as it turned out, several days later, there were some very legitimate circumstances there. But I widened the net to ask for assistance. Any Amron operators are leaders. If they need communication support, are you available? Yes or no? No response. This frustrated me. Now, I know some of you, some of you, in Aries, Races, these emergency communications, you understand. You're nodding right now because you're going, yep, that's it. People are flakes. Okay, so people being who they are, and I understand human nature, we aren't looking to have 100 Amron operators on the roster because we expect 100 Amron operators to step forward. In an emergency communications program where you have all these people signed up, you can realistically expect 1 out of 10 of those are really going to be performers. That's generally speaking across the board when you're dealing with volunteers. There's no obligation. There's no member fees. There's no consequences, really. They're not going to lose their job if they don't show up. But there is something to be said about what we're asking of Amron operators. Now, we have to go through 100 because we're looking for those 10. Now, once we widened it out and I put a nationwide request out to Amron operators that are outside the area, we immediately had teams responding saying, we're on our way. We're packing. We're getting ready to go. We thought this call might be coming. We're getting ready. We're going to be hitting the road. So, 2 days later, with probably about a third of the leadership already on the ground, we had one team getting on the road to go, and then we had two other teams fully ready to deploy with HF capabilities, digital, everything else, ready to roll in for support. While that was happening, I was getting flooded with Amron operators saying, I cannot deploy. I have a bad back. I have a business. I have a funeral in 4 days from, you know, a family member. But I am going to be monitoring the Amron frequencies. I will be here to support this operation where I am. And this was a beautiful thing because the Amron operators immediately went to work outside of that area. As I said, there was a couple who did end up responding, and it was a very, very legitimate reasons why they didn't respond. And that's fine. But here's the thing. If you're an Amron operator, if life happens and there's circumstances and it's legitimate, that's fine. Do not sign up for Amron. And if there's a request for help, just ignore it. Just go, click, delete, right? That's not what an Amron operator does. You at least give the courtesy of saying, hey, I am tied up and I'm moving. I'm moving my business this week and my stuff's packed. I can't. Or, hey, I'm just not able to for whatever reason or no reason at all. Just say I can't, but some type of acknowledgement. I want to make sure that you guys are clear on what the expectations of an Amron operator are, because this is what I put out to everyone. If you cannot commit to offering communication support because it's too far away, or you're limited in your financial resources, or you have a business or other obligations, or you just don't agree with getting involved in this particular situation, or whatever reason, then that's fine. Just let us know. Don't just completely ignore a call, a plea for help. One of the biggest frustrations of the emergency communications, that's like Aries and Races, is that they get lots of people signing up, but people drag their feet when it comes to actually getting involved. I emailed this out to all the Amron operators. Now, perhaps my expectations were not made clear. And if that's the case, then I accept responsibility. And I wish to correct that here and now. So here are our expectations. And after seeking counsel, which I have been doing, we will make necessary changes and it'll be incorporated into the AMRON protocol and the forthcoming AMRON guide and adopted as policy and standing operating procedures. First of all, ham operators are a dime a dozen. AMRON operators are not. They are a unique and critical asset to Patriots on every level. Number two, an AMRON operator is a patriot first and foremost, who's committed to Americanism and the principles that made us free, including all our founding documents. An AMRON operator is not just a licensed ham operator. He's a dedicated patriot communicator who may use amateur radio, CB, FRS, MERS, GMRS, and any combination of any of those, and including any other means or method, to make sure communications happen at all costs. He's not reckless, but he places the mission before his own interests, including his life. He will use all of his expertise and knowledge and equipment and resources to complete the mission. He will continuously strive to improve his equipment, his capabilities, and his skill sets, and teach others to do the same. He's not just immersed in emergency communications for disaster response. He's committed to supporting the Patriots in their efforts to prepare for, survive, recover, and rebuild from a major crisis, including natural disasters, man-made disasters, war, societal, governmental collapse, and tyranny. He will gather in number six, he will gather intelligence using every means and method at his disposal, and he'll pass that along to others to help their fellow countrymen avoid danger. He will act as a relay for lower echelon communications and pass it up the chain and vice versa. He's committed to making sure a message gets to its destination or to the masses for wide distribution, depending on the circumstances. Number eight. He, above all, will be the communications expert for Patriot leaders who rely on accurate, timely, and reliable communications to effectively and efficiently coordinate efforts and make informed decisions. The AMRON operator looks for opportunities to serve before, during, and after an incident. He will accept guidance, and where there is none, he will take the initiative to see what needs to be done and do it. When called upon, he will respond to requests for his services, and if he cannot serve in a certain capacity for any reason, he will at least give the courtesy of stating so. This will assist greatly with leadership who are trying to get an accurate assessment of what assets are available to them. The AMRON operators conduct and participate in regular nets where they exist and start them where they do not. Even if he's the only one who participates in his net for weeks or months on end, he's there. AMRON operator equals commitment. The leaders that were there were pretty nervous about things possibly escalating. As soon as they found out that AMRON operators were mobilizing, it put them at ease. It gave them a sense of peace, knowing that somebody was looking out for them. Knowing that they could focus on the task at hand without having to worry about that part because it was already being taken care of. And people were taking care of it. In fact, we had AMRON operators taking the initiative and immediately getting their SOI out, and they were following the timetables and the frequency tables and modes, and they were monitoring on their own. Some of them would just put our 40-meter frequency on and just leave it on and go about their business while they're listening and monitoring, just in case somebody out there on the ground is in trouble. What we found out later was that we did have AMRON assets on the ground and weren't even aware of it. In fact, we had several militias that were on the ground who had AMRON members among their ranks. They had their own communications protocol that they were using, but they also have the AMRON SOI. If someone got in trouble and needed to call out to let someone else know that something was going on or needed help in some way, there were actually Ameron operators monitoring that, and I didn't even know that. That's an Ameron operator. They don't need to be told. They just see something going on. As soon as I put the plea out, they're like, well, I can't deploy. I'm not deployable. But I can certainly monitor for any traffic, and I'll pass on anything I come across. That's what we're looking for. And I was looking at the situation, and I said, man, look at me. I mean, I'm not deployable. I'm not ready to deploy to some. But then I thought, hold on a minute. First of all, why should anybody have to deploy? Because we're supposed to have Ameron operators everywhere. And there's some that are in very special circumstances who cannot, and that's understandable. And this is a very sparsely populated area. It's very, very rural. So we can't really expect to have a lot of Ameron operators in that area. But there were several that were responding to the call, and they were on their way inbound. Now, having said that, I have to remind you, this was a very unique thing. We learned a lot. We are going to be incorporating many things into the planning level and policy level of Ameron. And we're not really expecting any more out of you than we just outlined here. But there were some things, like, for example, Ameron was not designed to be deployed. It's designed to be a nationwide network where you don't have to deploy because everywhere you go, there's an Ameron operator somewhere close by. And it's actually becoming that way. We've gone through some rapid growth in the last just 6 months. It's just amazing. It's very encouraging. But there are still big gaps. And it is nice to know that there are teams of Ameron operators that are willing and capable and striving toward that goal of being able to deploy to a location if necessary. And that's not something that we really had planned on. We did not anticipate that need. But an isolated case like this, where we have several Patriot leaders all descending on one location, they need communication support. And if there is not communication support already, assets on the ground there, because it's maybe very remote, then we have an increasing number of Ameron operators that are saying, hey, put me down. If you need to deploy and it's within 500 miles of me, count me in. I will be there. And others who say, I can't, but I will certainly dedicate myself to monitoring, even if it's just a one little slice of the window of time every day, you know, put me down. And that's what we're looking for. That's very, very encouraging. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say on that. But I do want you guys to understand that just don't sign up just because you want to be a name on a list. There's a reason for this, that one day you might be called upon. And this is strictly voluntary. But like I said, we're going through 100, so we can find that 10. Those 10 committed operators. And hopefully that should change. Everyone who's part of Ameron is dedicated to make sure communications happen in whatever capacity they are. Even if you're just a Black Echo rebroadcasting station, you're building, you're upgrading your antenna, you're upgrading your cables, you're practicing with your gear, and you're committed and you're ready. And you use your equipment. So something like that, a Black Echo rebroadcasting station wouldn't really apply in this particular situation. But you're prepared and ready to step up for the situation that does apply to you. So thank you guys all for your readiness, for preparing, and for... here's another really beautiful thing that happened. It made a whole lot of people take a personal inventory and realize they are nowhere near ready if something happened tomorrow. And so there are people that now have antennas that are operational that the wind blew down last winter that's been laying there that they hadn't fixed because they were going to get around to it. Well, now they're up and running. So use this opportunity to do a personal assessment and find out, am I ready? If something went down tomorrow, could I contribute? Could I communicate? Do I still need to get that latest updated software program? do I still need to download that Echo Link app onto my smartphone or my tablet? You know, do I need to get that cable repaired? Do I need to get that other antenna because this radio is sitting there like a boat anchor and it doesn't even work because I keep meaning to get this antenna, and so now I'm going to do it, or I'm going to repair the antenna. Am I going to get that carburetor rebuilt on that generator so I have backup power because if something went down tomorrow, I don't have a generator. So this really prompted some people to take care of some issues and brought a lot of people up to speed really in short order, and that provided a lot of real-world learning experience. We're not going to let a crisis go to waste, right? We're going to adopt their strategy. So hopefully we all learn from that. All right, when we come back, we are going to be visited by a very special guest, Russ Fulcher, the candidate for Idaho governor. He's going to give the incumbent, Butch Otter, a run for his money, and he's a patriot. We need to hopefully not give him a run for his money. Defeat him. Defeat the left-leaning Republican posing as a conservative. Well, stay right there. This is Radio Free Redoubt.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. Sometimes God puts you somewhere for a special reason. For me, I believe it's to help like-minded patriots find safety and security for their loved ones. At Revolutionary Realty, we educate buyers about solar power, growing food, obtaining water, and personal security. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan, and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Okay, hey, guys, we got just a little bit of announcement. We're going to change things up again. I'm sorry, but we are not going to be able to do the Russ Fulcher interview this evening. We are rescheduling that for Tuesday evening. So that'll be a special broadcast, special presentation. But we don't want to wait till next weekend because, first of all, the rally is going to be going on next weekend. And he may be speaking at the rally next weekend. So we want to do some interviews with him then as well on Saturday. So I want you guys to be able to hear him because it might influence you to, or motivate you to want to go hear him in person if he does end up showing up at the Patriots rally this coming Saturday. So anyway, there's just a little bit of a scheduling conflict, and we are going to do that Tuesday now. So you have that to look forward to, a special presentation by Radio Free Redoubt. And don't forget, this weekend, we want to see you guys come out and meet us and talk to any one of the Radio Free Redoubt partisans. Give them your AMRON call sign or your ARN code name, and they'll get you back in there. And it's going to be crazy busy, but I still want to meet you guys and shake your hand. So we look forward to meeting you then. Anyway, thank you for all your support and your prayers. God be with all of you this week and all of the patriots, and pray for our leadership who are taking on Goliath right now with this huge corrupt system that we've seen manifest itself down in southern Nevada this past week. And just keep all of us in your prayers. All right, guys, until then, Godspeed. I've got nothing more for you. This is John Jacob Schmidt, and this is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Good night.